Hitshot. Professionals have standards. Be polite. Be efficient. Have a plan to kill everyone you meet.
Hey, this is Video Game Roundtable at Game Stooge, and this is our very first podcast, recorded on February 24th, 2010. With me is Richard Elliott.
Hello.
And Filippo, oh God, I forgot his entire name.
Filippo Harris.
Right. And so, what do you, and this is Jonah Falcon, and what have you guys been playing, Richard?
What have I been playing? I've been mainly playing a bit of Madden 10, picked that up recently for a bargain bin price, and Mass Effect 2, been playing a bit of that, but I haven't really been playing many games recently. I'm looking forward to the launch of Heavy Rain on Friday over here.
In other words, the QuickTime game, yeah.
Yeah, I played the demo. I managed to get hold of the demo code from the ARG or whatever you call them. The demo kind of interested me. It did have a kind of QuickTime feel, obviously, because that's what you do. But I kind of like the way that the button in the presses. If you get something wrong, that's not necessarily a failure.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, according to some reviews I read, you could put down the controller and you can't fail.
Looking back, you can kind of think, well, maybe what will happen if, like, I'd put the controller down? What will happen if I get all but one right? And it's just like, it's the what-if game, essentially. Hopefully it will reward you well for multiple playthroughs, but we'll see. We'll see.
But you've only played the demo.
Yeah, so far. I've got the pre-order for Friday when it comes out over here, like I said. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. That's probably the main reason why I bought a PlayStation 3.
Really? Just to play Heavy Rain?
Well, that and Uncharted 2. But, I mean, Uncharted 2, whilst it is one of the best games of last year, I haven't stuck with it.
Yeah. Well, have you read, have you watched Zero Punctuation's review?
I haven't, I don't think. I might have. I can't remember it at the back of my head. Like,
well, he just says that the game pays with Gears of War meets Indiana Jones with all the cliches bundled in, sort of thing.
Yes, it's very much like that. Very much like that.
Filippo, what have you been playing?
Alien vs. Predator. Heavy Rain, got it last night. Been playing it. And I don't know if this counts as a game, but I've been watching Halo Legends, which is
DVD.
Yeah, actually, Blu-ray. But it's all right. It's not great, but it's not bad.
So you're watching Halo Legends on your PS3? You must get vertigo from that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I guess. Oh, and also Mag. Been playing Mag. Yeah. And it's probably my favorite game so far this year.
Well, isn't there supposed to be a huge imbalance because everybody took one faction?
Well, the faction that I am is Raven, but there seems to be a lot of Valor is always the team that kicks my ass.
Yeah, because one of the complaints is that everybody took one faction, partially because there was a pre-order associated with it. So now you have one faction that's mega huge, and the other two are like small and have to. And there's one map that the developers actually said was unwinnable for other factions because of the way it was built. So they're promising a massive changes or massive action game changes.
Well, and the part that sucks is that you pick one class and that's it.
You're stuck with it for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Well, actually, I hear if you get to level 60, which I don't think I will ever get to 60 because there's just so many good games coming out. But I hear if you get to 60, you can create a second character. And then if you get to 60 with that, you can create a third character.
I've been playing a lot of BioShock 2 PC. Now, I've played BioShock 2 on the 360, so I'm doing the old double achievements thing because BioShock 2 is live enabled, but I cannot believe how sloppy the PC version is. And they just patched it so you can play with a widescreen monitor, but playing online, I mean, I love the way they do multiplayer. It's very much a Call of Duty-ish, you know, in which you get points for doing almost everything, you know, and you level up your character and you unlock things. But on the PC version, the lag is so bad. You know, I didn't have nearly as much problem with the 360 version. So, you know, I'm just hoping they fix up the net coding. I've also been playing a lot of Plants vs. Zombies on my iPhone. It was
$2.99.
I couldn't resist. It was $2.99. Yep. It only comes with the main campaign, but it's Plants vs. Zombies.
I have a confession to make. I still haven't played even the PC version of Plants vs. Zombies. I really need to get a Steam account. And
well, if you want to hold off, the XBLA version is coming out in like a month or so.
But then there's also when it comes out on XBLA, it'll be it'll probably cost a lot more.
Not really. I mean, Plants vs. Zombies is $20, and the XBLA version will probably cost $10, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. I was just thinking that the Microsoft chunk of it, using XBLA as a platform, probably would make it a little bit more expensive. But
well, even if it's 1200 MSP, it's still worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I know quite a few people who kind of diehard fans of those sorts of games. So, I mean, I know quite a few people who would be willing to drop any amount of money on that.
You've at least seen the music video, right?
Is that the one with the Michael Jackson?
No. It's zombie. The one in which the sunflower sing, "There's a zombie on your lawn." You haven't seen that yet?
I thought you said no songs.
Just go to YouTube. You'll find it. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
On a side note, with PopCap, they've started their newsletter, and you can actually, if you sign up for their newsletter, you can send a friend a free copy of Peggle Knights, which is really nice. So
yeah, you also get on that. You also get 10% discount on the store, as just from being a on the second purchase it becomes 15, third 20, which is a pretty sweet deal, to be honest. I mean, it's a free newsletter. You just send it to your junk folder. It doesn't really.
I'm pretty sure PopCap didn't intend you to consider it spam when they send you stuff.
Hey, it's free stuff. You're free
spam
stuff.
Now, go away.
I use and abuse.
Okay, let's get on to the current news. This news is several days old, but I think it's still resonating a lot. And that is Ubisoft's new idea for DRM, which has given everyone palpitations. Now, essentially, for Assassin's Creed 2 for the PC and The Settlers 7 for the PC, they've decided to have it so that you must have internet on at least 50 kilobytes per second. At least, and if it isn't on, the game shuts down. That's it. You drop connection or they drop connection, splat. That's it. Game turns off. Now, this has obviously caused a great outcry, especially since here in the United States, 35% of Americans don't have broadband.
Are you serious? 35?
Yeah, and the other part is that a lot of broadband isn't that good here, so you have to have 50 kps. Oh, and some places actually charge you, for using by kps, if you have a certain limit that you can do. So even if you have the broadband, honestly, it's not a question of when or if Ubisoft servers go down. It's if. Yeah, I mean, not if, but when, because it just. What do you guys think?
Well, when I first heard about it, I mean, people saying, "Oh, well, if your internet drops for just a split second, it'll boot you back to the main menu." And I thought, well, I mean, that's a bit ridiculous. I mean, surely they could make some kind of.
It shuts off the game itself.
Does it?
Yeah, just you're done.
Well,
it's secure, by the way. So,
regardless, I mean, I would have thought that they'd at least implement like a three strikes system into that, where like if like over 5 minutes or so, it checks if you're connected to the internet. Then if not, that's one strike. 5 minutes later, that's another strike. 5 minutes later after that, that's another strike, and you're out. And I mean, that would give people who did download it illegally would be able to kind of get a feel for the game, like a demo per se.
But honestly think that this will stop pirates?
Well, no.
the only people it's inconveniencing pirates. Are legitimate buyers.
Yes, I mean, at the end of the day, the music industry, the DRM does not work, and I think that DRM from the music scene. I mean, since that's gone, huge spike in sales after DRM stripped from iTunes. So
Filippo?
This is why I don't play games on my laptop, because I have a Xbox, a PlayStation 3, and a Wii, and the only game I play on my laptop is Counter-Strike and TF2. If you're going to buy a game like that, I mean, no offense, I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 wasn't all that great.
I enjoyed it. I loved it, but, you know, everybody's to their opinion.
I don't understand how someone could play a game like that on your laptop. It seems kind of dumb. And then now this...
I play it on my desktop. I would never play this on my laptop. I mean, my laptop's reserved for stuff like Plants vs. Zombies.
Well, I only have a laptop, so it just seems stupid. I don't know why Ubisoft is doing that. Wait, is Ubisoft owned by EA?
No. And that's the comparison that we made, is that EA in their worst moments never did this. I mean, the worst they had was with Spore, when it was revealed it had Securom and people went nuts over that. This is far worse. Yeah. And you know, Steam is the best DRM that anybody's come up with.
Yeah, I mean, but aren't there still ways to get around Steam?
Yeah, but you know, at least with Steam, you know, if you want to play online, you have to go through them. If you know, you can play games offline from Steam as well.
Yeah, I mean, the only downside with Steam is that you have, if you're running like a Games for Windows game, you've got two sets of clients working at the same time, which, I mean, that's the only downside to Steam. I mean, like I said, there are ways of getting around the DRM on there, but I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, I mean, it's a lot easier for developers to get peace of mind through Steam. And I think if there was a definitive, like an upgraded version of Steam, let's just say in the distant future, they create some kind of system like Steam, but was kind of they had an integrated DRM that you didn't even know about, sort of thing. That would be the ideal situation, but we're never going to get there because, I mean, people like physical things. That's why games on demand on Xbox isn't working as well as it could be.
Well, they're making money off it, you know.
Well, they are, but people like physical things. People like to have actual things that they can hold and see and like look at the cases on the walls. And it's,
yeah, but you know, the upside though is that you can play without a disc, games on demand and Steam and all that, you know. And I still have Half-Life 2 virtually, you know. I was one of the first people, you know, and I spent all the money for all the doodads. I spent $120, you know, for all the gadgets and the extra games and all that stuff. And it worked out pretty well. And one of the good things is that, like games on demand, you know, you can uninstall something from your hard drive and just bring it up later when you want it. I uninstalled Team Fortress 2, but I know if I really want to play Team Fortress 2, I can just click install and there it is. Okay, getting away from this sad news, let's go to some weirder news. Peter Molyneux is calling himself a talentless bastard. He was quoted as saying, "There was this amazing moment when a piece of research came back that showed us more than half the people who played Fable 2 understood and used less than half the features in the game. And as soon as you see that, you think, oh my god, what a talentless bastard I really am. How can I have made a game in which people understood less than half its mechanics? It's like making a film that people think it looks quite cool. I don't know what the hell is going on, but it seems quite cool." I think he's referring to Avatar maybe there. You know, that's just wrong.
Yeah. Matrix, first time that you see it.
I was thinking more of a Transformers kind of explosions, but there's no real story behind it. Or at least that's the opinion that most people are walking away with. There may very well be a story hidden behind Transformers, but we'll never know.
I hate those movies.
Yeah, have either of you played Fable 2?
Yes, I have.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Did you know all the features that it had?
Yes, but the only thing is that I am what you would probably call a hardcore gamer, where I spend most of my time on the internet on games sites.
So did you really have to dig to see what you could do in it?
Not really, because I knew what was already there, because there was like when they announced that they were going to have families and stuff like that, that had been posted all over the games, the blogosphere. And I already knew about that, and I just delved right in there. Whereas if I mentioned it to a few of my friends who also have Fable 2 and said, "Oh, I married a second person the other day," there'd be one occasion where one of my friends was like, "That you can get married That's the thing. Because I spend so much time online on these game on the blogosphere, that's how I know these things. And it's sort of like hearing like word of mouth and then going to see a film. You wouldn't go and see the film in the first place if you didn't know about it.
Felipe, how
even
about
if it was in, even if it was in the cinema, you wouldn't think to go there unless you'd heard it from someone else.
Felipe, did you play Fable 2?
To be honest with you, no. Okay. But I did watch my cousins play it. Because that's all they liked was to Fable 1 and Fable 2. I'm not really into RPGs.
Oh. Just into MAG and TF2 and Counter-Strike.
Anything
we can
with, like,
see what kind of player you are.
Yeah, I'm the guy who just likes to shoot shit.
I mean,
and I love Transformers, by the way. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Just as a side note from that, I mean, I personally am not a huge RPG fan. I wouldn't put that as on my list of games I love to play and genres of games. But recently, I mean, Mass Effect 2, Fable 2, I mean, these games are starting to creep through and they're starting to get to the everyman, if you know what I mean.
People don't consider Mass Effect 2 an RPG so much as it is a third-person shooter.
Mass Effect 2.
Okay, Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
I mean, Mass Effect 2 was, like, stripped down to the bone. And might
well,
as well
not
be
stripped
third
down
two,
so but much as streamlined, you know, because it never felt like there was something really wrong with it. Now, this reminds me, you know, I just received a review copy of Blood Bowl, and it has the worst tutorial you could ever imagine. A lot of people say you have to go online to check it out. So, you know, it's really important for people to understand what they're doing immediately as they play, you know, which is why in Bioshock 2 it tells you press the left thumbstick forward to move. People are like, wow, really? You have to? You know, it's but some people may need to have that instruction that you have to move your left thumbstick to move forward.
Gaming has got to that point now where entertainment has got to the point where gaming has become acceptable. So, I mean, people who never, like 10 years ago, have thought they'd be playing games are now doing so. I mean, if Bioshock 2 is your first game because you like the look of the cover, then you might need that. I can kind of see why Blood Bowl wouldn't need like such an in-depth tutorial. Like, press left stick forward.
It desperately needs one. I mean, for one thing, it's a Games Workshop game.
Well, yeah. But I mean, at the same time, the people who were the target audience for the demographic that would be going for that game would kind of sort of know what they're
people see the cover there, think it's going to be like Mutant League Football or Pigskin, you know, in which you're just playing football, except with, you know, and you're throwing things around. It's not an action game. It's a turn-based strategy game with die rolling.
Personally, didn't really know about the game until a review from Game Trailers popped up on my podcast feed, and I just had a quick skim through of that. And
well, I was a fan of the 1995 version for PCs, so I go way back with it. Now, I want to quickly go to Fable 3. And that is, it'll feature, Peter Molyneux in another podcast mentioned that it will finally have real co-op. Because if you remember in Fable 2, you had a henchman, which was boring. Now you can actually have your friend's character come in and play with you or not play with you and wreak havoc. And Peter is getting very, you know, you better be friends with the person you invite in because they can completely wreck your game if you're not careful.
Yeah, you best not leave that party on open. Yeah, the only thing that concerns me, the only thing that I hope they implement in Fable 3, like they did in Fable 2, is as long as it's got any achievements or see another player do so, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because most of the achievements from Fable 2 that I have are just me being lazy and joining other people's games and seeing them doing it.
Well, you couldn't.
If you couldn't
put on an all-black outfit yourself.
Wait, did you guys listen to the last joystick podcast?
No, I didn't.
Well, someone wrote them a letter saying, just to let you guys know, to watch someone do it means you have to be in the game. Because this guy thought if he went to his friend's house and just watched him play Fable 2, then he would get that.
Well, it kind of makes sense that you would have to be signed into Xbox Live in the party in the same game.
I know.
If you're around at someone's a friend's house, how would Xbox Live know about that?
I know. That's what. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Okay, our next news item is regarding Final Fantasy III, which is coming out in March. And it's been The game's been receiving a lot of criticism because now we all know that JRPGs are linear, but Final Fantasy 13 is ultra linear, and to defend it, Final Fantasy 13 director Mamuto Toriyama is likening the game to a first-person shooter. He's quoted as saying, "We are aiming for a vibe that, while playing, that is similar to the experience of an FPS-style game, where the player rapidly progresses through a series of dramatic events and experiences one after the other in an imposing and atmospheric battlefield." Now, a lot of people expect RPGs in the West to be sort of like Mass Effect 2, in which you can do everything and you create your own story. But for a long while, JRPGs have been, you know, extremely linear. You know, you're playing their story, basically. So what do you think? Now, if you watch the game, it's not like an FPS. It's more like a third-person actioner, you know, in which you're fighting stuff.
I've never been a big fan of JRPGs. The best description of a JRPG I've heard is on Zero Punctuation, where he said it's like reading an Excel spreadsheet while huffing helium and watching two spiders fight.
Yeah, with spiky-haired kids who want to hate their half-sisters. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, but I mean, liking it to an FPS.
Well, and they say, quote unquote, and it's a linearity. So I think he's thinking along the lines of Doom 3 or something.
Yeah, where it's more than on, if you were making the comparison to FPS, it's more than on the rails, but it's not an on the rails, if you know what I mean. That kind of balance would make sense to me as an interesting standpoint.
Well, in my case, I'm actually happy to hear this, because one of the things I hate is when they give you the illusion of freedom. If you're going to be linear, then be linear, you know? Because what happens when you don't have it being as linear is that you have an awful lot of grinding, and that's the other thing that JRPGs are notorious for, is the amount of grinding just to get yourself to high level so that you don't get your ass kicked by the next boss. Filippo, do you ever play any JRPGs, or...?
The only RPGs I've ever played have been the Final Fantasy games, and I played 7 onwards. I even played Final Fantasy 11 a bit, but I actually think this is pretty good. I mean, I think this is a good idea. I've been waiting for this game for a long time, but I heard that you can't go to, like, towns and buy items and stuff like that, so that's kind of saddening.
Well, like I said, they're going for the linear experience. I'm happy that they're skewing the idea that this is an RPG when it's more like an adventure game, you know, in which you're following a set story. You know, you're not going to be able to change. You know, you're not going to be able to kill Rex or something like that. So, speaking of huge series, Bungie says they're not ruling out more Halo games, but it's a long way off.
Everyone saw this coming. I mean, because they said that Halo 3 ODST was going to be their last game, and then they brought out Halo Reach, and then now they're saying this. So,
well, here's the other thing, is that they said that Halo Reach was not Halo 4. So if you're going to say it's not Halo 4, you're implicating, well, maybe there's going to be a Halo 4.
Of course there's going to be a Halo 4. People like cash, and Halo makes cash. Look at Halo Wars. It wasn't even like an actual like great game. It was fun.
It was great in multiplayer, from what I understand.
And it sold,
it really was.
It sold over a million copies in
2 million.
The first
2 million.
Oh, 2 million?
Well, in its first week, yeah. I mean, you know, but that's because they had that. Didn't they have that offer with Halo Wars? If you buy Halo Wars, you can do this thing.
Yeah, you get the legendary map pack. Was it? I think.
Or right.
Yeah, legendary.
Legendary. It was crap. I keep forgetting.
I mean, I have Halo 3 ODST, and I know that the Halo Reach beta comes with it, but that's not why I bought it. I really like Firefight.
Yeah. Oh, Firefight. I wish that they put out...
Yeah, and that's another thing. Frank O'Connor said that his biggest regret with Halo 3 ODST is that they did not include typical Halo matchmaking, which which would have been nice.
Also, they said that when they were asked, I think it was on Game Trailers, I'm not sure, but they said that, are you guys going to bring in Firefight? And all that they said was, we are known for not leaving out great types of gameplay.
Well, Firefight is addictive. Yeah, you know, I thought that, you know, with the horde mode of Gears of War and the zombie mode and the arcade mode from Call of Duty, that, you know, Firefight would just be a me too. But there's really something, that little extra in Firefight, that just makes it that much more special.
But could you think about being a, ODST doing Firefight, but you're like an actual Spartan?
Well, like, you know, the thing is, I can't tell the difference between an ODST and a Spartan from Halo 1, since they both have the same health and shield issues. So basically, you know, Halo 3 ODST, you're playing an ODST, but it was basically someone in Spartan armor from the first game.
And plus, you're not going to be fighting brutes this time around. Thank God, I'm so sick and tired of them.
Oh, yeah, they're bringing back the elites. The thing Halo Reach is that if you saw the making of Vidduck, they said that they've really ramped up, and it shows the polygon count. And if you just look at the battle rifle, the regular SMG, you know, that you've always had, they said, you know, we've had the same SMG for the past five games, you know, so they're building Halo Reach from the ground up.
Did you also see the launcher that they had in there? In the trailer, it was in there for like a split, like, little moment. It was a...
a man cannon?
Yeah.
No, it was more of a... It was like the...
Bumper.
Yeah, it was... Yeah. It's just like a kind of mini rocket gun sort of thing. But, yeah. I mean, it's like those kind of things. I'm really intrigued as to how the hybrid of the sniper and battle rifle will
work out.
Yeah.
They're also hinting around that this isn't going to be exactly the same kind of FPS that you've seen in previous Halos, which sort of makes me think, Rainbow Six Halo. You know?
Well,
it sounds
like
it's going to be heavily squad-based.
You can also, like, actually run, which is amazing.
It looks like it's a burst. It looks like it's a quick dash, you know?
Yeah, but still, I'm so sick of playing Halo 3, Matt. I love the game, but you're walking the whole game.
Now, considering that this game is a prequel, I'm wondering what happened that made them eschew the dash, you know? What, were they killing themselves running into trees or something, you know?
They'll have to write a whole novel based around just solving why they can't run anymore, but it's
well, the same novel they have to write why R2-D2 can't fly anymore.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that they're gonna have a 6-player co-op?
It looks like it's probably gonna be 4. I mean, that's usually the staple. If it's 6-player, you don't have to have that many for co-op. I was just happy with 2-player co-op in Gears, really.
Gears, though. I mean, like, you have, like, the two main characters. I mean, this is Halo. You have a squad of 6. So, I mean, it would be nice. I mean, I'd be happy with...
Now, here's the other thing. Since you're the 6th Spartan, right, and you're completely new, I wonder if that means you're going to be able to customize your single-player campaign character as you go along.
Yes.
Sort of like Altair or something.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, they were showing off all the different components for the multiplayer side of things.
Now, if you get a limb blown off, do you get a bionic replacement like that chick?
Well, I hope so. But yeah, I mean, how the armor upgrades, like where you have like a kind of visor over the front, so it makes sniping a lot better. Like kind of those kind of gameplay perks, kind of like Call of Duty. They said that those would also be probably making their way over to the single player. The thing is, though, that, I mean, going back to what you're saying about the number of people in the squad, if you checked out the screenshots by Tom Morello or whoever it was from months ago with the screenshots that were leaked, and they had, like, someone had gone on MS Paint and just scribbled names and stuff like that on the front. They did that for Reach and also Dishwasher Dead Samurai 2, which looks amazing. Other than that, the Halo Reach stuff, I mean, in the corner you had your little your radar, and at the side there was like kind of 4 health bars, which kind of indicated like a 5-person squad,
or maybe a 4-person squad including your own health. But you see, that's going back to my idea that it might be like Rainbow Six Halo, you know. Mm. Something really, or Ghost Recon more likely, actually.
I mean, there was the guy who, well, one of the people who worked on Rainbow Six Vegas actually did move onto the Bungie team, and that's what kind of brought upon the whole kind of Marine third-person shooter rumor that was going rampant before ODST was even announced.
Now, what makes me wonder is if they're going to do the same thing that they did with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and have co-op scenarios, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
Well, they didn't have it for Halo 3. You know, if you were playing co-op, it was you had to pick a single player campaign sort of thing.
Yeah,
and then you have to wonder if they're going to have class based Halo Spartans. You know, like this guy's the sniper and this guy's the brawler and this guy has the rap, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the
possibilities, I'm like foaming at the mouth right now.
Yeah, I mean, if the...
Can't wait until May 3rd. And by the way, that was the date that was released for the Halo Reach beta, is May 3rd.
Yeah, I told my mom, I told my dad, like, look, guys, I am not working that day. I talked to my girlfriend. I'm like, do not talk to me this day. Do not call me. No one contact me on May 3rd through May 5th. I mean, May 5th, I might go back to school. I don't know. If I'm tired, I might just sleep that day. But I am May 3rd, dude. I'm going to be up all night till about May 4th, at least, playing the game.
I have to remember to buy a pre-owned copy of ODST again.
Wait, is it just they said if you own anything from Halo 3?
No, it has to be Halo 3 ODST. Yeah, you have to own that copy. But it's the same thing, the same deal as Crackdown. You know, it's on the disc. You have to run the beta from the disc. And the thing is,
when they announced Crackdown was going to be have the Halo 3 beta, everyone was like, oh, we'll just buy the game and get rid of the crappy disc that comes with it and just keep the little card that came inside with a little scratch-off code. Well, when they found out that it was actually going to be built into the disc and that the game on the disc was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, and the demo for Crackdown helped a lot because...
Yeah, I mean...
After playing the demo for Crackdown, it's like, okay, I want this game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Crackdown was one of those games where, on paper, it just seems rubbish. I mean, it was like, hardly anyone had heard about what it was about. There was no real story, which is one of the...
It had a story, though, and it was a very nasty story. If you freeze the ending, I was like, what did I just do?
Yeah, I mean, it did have a story, but the story was so loose in terms of gameplay that people just ignored it.
They were just all collecting the green orbs.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, like, when you can run around, it wasn't like Grand Theft Auto where you have story-based missions. It was just do whatever you want. Just kill all these people. Yeah, wreck havoc. And, I mean, obviously, you wreck havoc because, I mean, the stuff that you did in the first game, obviously, the story consequence happens in the sequel where, like, you've got all these...
I don't know. What really made it for me was the agency director. Skills for kills, agent. Skills for kills.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to love Larry Herb, Major Nelson, for releasing the audio for the agility orbs. Because I had that
photos? Remember the Flickr photos in which you had green orbs all over major monuments, like on the pyramids and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And that actually happens to a lot of people. You know, they'll play a game and they start having that visual, like... If you play Crackdown, you know, I live in New York, so what happens is I started looking around all the buildings saying, you know, I could climb
that. Yeah, I was just about to say exactly the same thing. It's like, oh, I could actually reach up there and if only, like...
Is that a green orb?
Wait, so...
Ooh, a secret orb. Gotta get it.
I could climb up on that windowsill, and then I could jump. I could make that jump. I'm pretty sure I could... Okay, then climb up to the top of the roof and jump across the alleyway. Yeah, I could do that. It's one of those things where you just sat there daydreaming and then someone will like nudge you like, what are you thinking about? Oh, sorry.
Called on TV Tropes, the Tetris effect.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Do you
guys
want to crack down two for a bit? Because, I mean, there's some pretty cool stuff that they're going to do with that game.
Yeah, let's reserve that for later. Let's talk about games that are coming out this coming week. And the major one that everybody's drooling over is Battlefield Bad Company 2. And I know a lot of people have been playing the demo. Either of you been playing it?
Every day.
Yep. Well,
every day.
Yeah, I haven't been playing it that much, but yes, I've got a good feel for it. I know that it's...
So what's good about it? Because I haven't been able to play because my 360 Red Ringed. I'm getting it back tomorrow, but, you know...
Oh.
I'll get it back from the Texan doctors. But the thing is, it's not the Modern Warfare killer that it was hyped to be. That's my impression from the demo.
It's pretty damn good. I mean, it actually takes skill.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a good game, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's not what it is hyped up to be. They were trying to make it this kind of... the game that the people who were not satisfied with Modern Warfare 2 would go and play instead. And, I mean, I can kind of see where they're coming from, but it just doesn't feel right, if you know what I mean. I mean, for example, the demo matches, I mean, just to play two or three games, you're there for, what, 2 or 3 hours? And it's crazy.
Yeah, but that's just one mode. You know, like, you know, there's going to be like 3 or 4.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know what, but it doesn't have that zing that the multiplayer on Modern Warfare does. I don't know how to explain it, but it just doesn't. I don't know if it's the controls, like the way that the character kind of runs or like the swings the gun about it. It's just something that doesn't fit right. For some reason, there's just something that doesn't click, if you know what I mean. It's
well, Filippo, you've been giving away copies on your site.
Yeah, on the site that I am writing for, we are giving away...
And that site is?
Abstract360.com. We are giving away one free copy, but if we can get I Want Bad Company 2 trendy on Twitter, then we're going to give away three. And I actually just went to GameStop the other day and paid off all three copies. So if we don't get that trendy, then I'm going to have two extra copies sitting around my house.
That's what eBay is for.
Well, I could just send one to Jonah, but...
Well, I will have it back on tomorrow, just so you know. Another major release that's coming out, and this is a game I've been really looking forward to and I'm curious about, and that is All Points Bulletin. If you want to know what that is, just think of Grand Theft Auto as an MMO. So you have cops and robbers, and you have 100 people in a part of the city and split into 50, you know, equally into the law and the criminals. And each of those law and criminals are divided into... So it's sort of like MAG, except with Grand Theft Auto.
I think it's going to flop.
I don't know. The biggest problem is probably that it's PC only. I mean, most MMOs are, but you know, if this came out on the 360 or the PS3, it would go on a bomb.
I can see this going two ways. I can see it flopping or being a success. Now, obviously, it's going to be one of the two. But if it flops, I mean, it's because the market at the moment is being overrun with MMOs. I mean, we've got Star Trek Online. We've got APB, we've got... Look,
well,
everyone,
one of the things about this, by the way, is that it's a free MMO. You don't have... There's no subscription fee.
Oh, it's actually free?
Yeah, there's no subscription fee.
I might actually play it then. I played WoW for like 2 years, and then I played Star Trek Online, and then I quit after like a week, and...
Star Trek Online, I sort of liked, you know, but, it, you know, I can't really afford a new MMO these days. You know, I played the beta for a long time, and I really found it fun. But, you know, it's like, I don't have time for this.
The thing is, I mean, like, 2 or 3 years ago, there was just World of Warcraft. And then, like, suddenly someone in some executive in some boardroom somewhere just decided, I've got to get a piece of the pie. And from that moment on, it's just been madness. I mean, there's been so many MMOs, and it's just oversaturated the market, in my opinion. There have been some really good MMOs that are coming through, but they're just not getting the praise that they deserve. And like I was saying, it's either going to flop and be just another MMO, or if people actually do listen, hear that it's a free kind of MMO,
but
like you said.
Here's the problem is that, there, you know, for a game that's coming out next Tuesday, there hasn't been an awful lot of talk about it. That's a major problem. You know, you want people to say, hey, look, this is made by the guy who made Grand Theft Auto, and it's online, and, you know, you can play, you know, with the police or the robbers. And the game mechanics are really interesting. For instance, you know, you have dynamic missions that pop up, and you have your group, you know, say, okay, I want you to do this, like hijack this car. When you start doing something, an alert goes out to various police, and they can choose to go after you. And what happens is things just keep on escalating and escalating and escalating. It's a great concept, but, you know, you have to have people to play. And if no one plays about it...
Like, whatever, guys, just go steal that car. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said with MAG, I could easily see this becoming one-sided. They'll have to do something to try and tempt people to go towards the police.
You can have people just sign up for which side they want that day, I think. Or they create gangs. But the thing is that, you know, it's a lot less than, you know, you're not going to have, okay, you have to be a cop for the rest of the game for all you play. No, it's not going to be like
that.
Wait,
can you pick more than one character?
Yeah, you can pick more than one character.
But, I mean, the thing is, if it is a success, if people do hear about it, I mean, it's said that it was coming out next Tuesday.
You're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? I thought that was months away because there hasn't been any hype. There hasn't been any advertising.
What was the hype thing, like 4 years ago when it was first shown at E3?
Yeah, well, that's what the thing is. The hype ran out because
it's like really been 4 years already.
Yeah, something time flies.
On the other hand, you know, World of Warcraft debuted in 2005, and I remember first checking it out at E3 at 2002, so it's sort of...
I can see this. If this is a success, I could see this probably being ported over to 360 and PS3, because the downside to World of Warcraft hasn't been ported over to 360 or whatever is because people don't want to pay for yet another subscription. They already pay for Xbox Live. They don't really want to be paying for an online game that they're only going to play. The number of games that I have on my shelf at the moment is expanding by the month, and I don't play them all like just one game nonstop. So that's one downside to an MMO. Like the Final Fantasy game, which was online on the 360, the reason why that sort of bombed was because you had to pay for it, and that was just yet another payment that you had to make on top of your Xbox Live. And because this is free,
a lot of people play Final Fantasy Star Online and Fantasy 11 though, and that's on top of
it's not exactly
because you don't need an Xbox Live account to have subscriptions to an MMO.
But I mean, the thing is though that I could see people actually wanting it, like, to if this was ported over, I could actually see some people getting interested.
Well, it's GTA, except it's massive.
Yeah, exactly. It's online GTA, and on GTA Online on GTA 4 is actually not that bad, and there are still people I see on my friends list playing it. And I mean, I'm surprised because I stopped playing that ever since I finished Gay Tony. But I mean, it still
and
does
finally
draw...
PS3 and PC players will be able to play both of them 2 years after the game is released. Hey, Microsoft made out like bandits. They made $20 million in the process. They lent Rockstar 50 and got back 70. Anyways, going forward, also being released this week is Supreme Commander 2 for the PC, and I might say just for the PC because it didn't exactly do well, the first Supreme Commander on console. Those of you who know anything about RTSs, this is yet another sequel to the massively popular Total Annihilation series. From way back when. You guys don't play RTSs, do you? Or the Supreme Commander series?
No. I mean, very rarely do I play RTSs. I mean, back in the day I used to play Age of Empires and
Warcraft,
Halo.
StarCraft.
Yeah, well, you know, the StarCraft 2 beta is going on right now.
I know. Don't
you weren't selected?
No, I want it. So bad.
I didn't really realize that there was a that you had to sign up. I didn't know when you had to sign up, and yeah, the boat sailed, and I don't really fancy coughing up.
I signed up
to like half a grand.
I signed up for the Star Wars The Old Republic beta. Damn it, that's the one I want to beta test.
Yeah,
same with me. That game is gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Another game that's coming out for the PlayStation 3 is Yakuza 3. Now, it's slightly edited. They've taken away some of the more Japanesey nasty stuff, although you can still, you know, like a whorehouse, which is called something else in the game, but, you know, it's still, you know, one of those things. This is sort of like a Grand Theft Auto Japan. So, now, the thing about Yakuza 3 is that Yakuza 4 has already been released in Japan. So we're already getting the old sauce here.
No.
Well, this reminds me of a story, actually, that Sega was hinting around very strongly, I think, in Microsoft direction that if a console manufacturer wanted to help them monetarily, they would release Shenmue 3. Now, considering that it was Shenmue 2 came out on the original Xbox, you know, I'm wondering if Sega's telling, hey, you know, you gave money to Rockstar. How about us? You know, we'll make Shenmue. Oh, and they said they would also make it exclusive to that platform. So I'm wondering if Sega's sending Microsoft a message saying, hey, want to send some money over our way so we can make Shenmue 3?
I mean, Shenmue 1 was like the most expensive game ever made, wasn't it? Oh, no, something like second or third most expensive game ever made. So, I mean, like you said, they gave money to Rockstar, and Grand Theft Auto was the number one most expensive game ever made. So, I mean, it's possible, but
I would be surprised if Microsoft did it. I mean, because, you know, Sony's having Yakuza 3 and Heavy Rain, and, you know, Shenmue is along those lines.
Yes, but I don't think that from a financial standpoint, Microsoft would be getting bang for their buck, because, I mean, the amount of money it's going to cost to develop the game in the first place. I don't think that it'll have the sales figures to recoup.
Not to make it a big deal.
Well, yes, but the thing is, though, that Grand Theft Auto has been around for how many years now, and it's it's made its way into many people, many people's homes, because the thing is, it was controversial. People bought the game because of the controversy. And
if Microsoft didn't back Gears of War, do you think Gears of War would have mattered to anybody? It would have been another Unreal game. Oh yeah, Unreal. But you know, it's like Microsoft pimped it up for E3 and they made a big deal about it. You know, they could do the same thing with Shenmue 3. And the thing is that if they want to get people to buy the 360 in Japan, that's a good way to do it.
True. True.
Yeah, but then again, they could lose a lot of cash.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
they did a gamble with Gears of War, and that worked out. As a matter of fact, if I recall, Cliff Bleszinski said that Gears of War cost Microsoft $1 billion. Remember,
so wait,
they convinced them to change to expand the RAM from 256 to 512.
Does Microsoft own that series?
They own the first IP. Two. They don't own. They don't own a Gears of War, a hypothetical Gears of War 3.
So in theory, that could be coming to PlayStation 3.
Yeah, but that's about as likely as Mass Effect 3 coming to the PlayStation, because Microsoft owns Mass Effect, and Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2 have a lot of input. And the thing is that, you know, people can play Mass Effect 2 without having Mass Effect 1. You know, not importing characters, but there's so much that you're missing when you don't do that.
I didn't really think there was that much missing.
Oh, there's a lot missing if you don't have your Mass Effect 1. You know, a lot of characters that you met from the first game come in the second game, and they might have an effect on the third game.
I hated the first game, to be honest with you.
He's completed and get an import character?
No, I need to. Like, that's one of the things I need to do. I mean, I loved Mass Effect 2. I thought it was a great game. Just the first one cannot stand.
Well, how far did you play into it? Because the thing with Mass Effect is that when you start out, you're so weak that the battles are really, you know, torturous. But once you start getting powerful, it's like, hey, I'm actually having fun with this.
I played probably about 5 hours.
You see,
5 or 6 hours.
You have to stick with it. And once you start getting yourself powerful, then you just start breezing through stuff. By the time you reach near the end, it's like, you know, when you have the masses and masses of Geth attacking, it's like, oh, get out of my way.
I mean, the first game, I completed it, and I accidentally, stupidly deleted the save. I must have been smoking something because I do not remember deleting it, but it's not on there anymore, so
oh, you know,
who knows what happened to it.
Now, here's a little story. Now, when I first booted up Mass Effect 2, I knew I'd completed it with two characters, right? But one of the characters wasn't showing up. So I loaded the Mass Effect 2 with that one character, and I had to redo the entire ending, which I did, and then she appeared as an importable character. So sometimes, you know, you have to find, you have to pop in Mass Effect 1 and redo the ending again.
The thing is, I completed it, and then went back. Did it like almost to the end, played the extension pack, the Bring Down the Skies, because the second one hadn't come out by that point. Finished it again, yet they're not showing up in Mass Effect 2, so I must have deleted them. I've double checked, and I have actually, well, deleted them. But the thing is, though.
if you actually deleted them, then they're not going to be there.
Yeah, okay. Hands up on that one. But the thing is, I started again for a third time, and I'm now at the bar kind of place where it's snowing outside.
Okay.
It's very close to the beginning of the game. And you go into the guy's office. Spoilers, by the way, but it's not really that much of a big deal. You hack the guy's stuff, you get out, and then you're met by some welcoming committee who actually try and kill you. But the thing is, some welcoming committee. But the thing is, you just don't. I can't survive that. I have tried. Ooh. I have tried, and I have tried. But for
some
reason,
you have the wrong
crew
members. Are you playing
dying.
Wrong or something? Because that
shouldn't be
too difficult. The thing is, keep in mind, you can run and hide if you need to.
Well, I'm running and hiding. I just can't do it. They just.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any biotics in your? Because you have to use. Because one of them is a biotic, and you have to warp her and. Use warp or distort or whatever that thing is that removes powers. Yeah. You know.
I think I'm biotic, so yeah. But yeah, we've gone far past what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Yakuza 3, actually.
Whoa.
So and
how did we get here?
Well, Anyways, getting off Yakuza 3, the last major releases are a pair of baseball games. One is MLB 10, and the other is MLB 2K10, one from Sony, the other one from 2K Sports. Do either of you play?
Baseball is nothing over here. Baseball is not sold over here because it's not on TV. It's nowhere. So
I actually watched the World Series in Germany when I was there. So. Yeah, really? But the thing is that it's all it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. So
yeah, well, I mean that's no excuse for the Madden series. I mean we have that over here, but
well, they actually sent teams over there to play.
Well, yeah, exactly. But the thing is,
and also the Super Bowls played, would be around 11 o'clock your time. So it's not like it's
No. It's later than that. It's definitely later than that. But the thing is, though, that I mean. Just going off baseball slightly onto ice hockey. I mean, the NHL series this last year, NHL 10 wasn't sold in one of the main retailers, GameStation. They weren't selling it over here, which kind of shows the way that the games, the like American sports, are being kind of portrayed over here. I mean, you can easily get NHL 9, but they're not selling NHL 10 because of the lack of interest around it. So I mean,
we're also not selling NHL 10 on PC at all from anybody.
It's
anyway,
shame.
Filippo, how about you? Do you
The only sports games I've played is Madden, and I haven't played Madden in probably like 2 years. So
okay, well, then I'll have to handle this all by myself. Now MLB 10, they're not changing much. It looks like they're just tweaking it and making it look better. But the biggest thing is that the MLB 2K10 is a huge thing because with MLB 10, the show. It's a first party game, so they're allowed to, because 2K Sports has a third party exclusivity, so no one else can make a third party baseball game. You can make a first party baseball game. Microsoft's been sitting on the High Heat baseball license, God knows why. Maybe they're just trying to be nice to 2K because the entire Grand Theft Auto thing. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But the MLB 2K series has been quite awful, and it's been painful because it's the only game that's available to people on PC and 360, so they don't have a choice. So the demo was released yesterday actually for the 360, and it's been getting some positive reviews, so this could be the first time that people actually buy MLB 2K10 and say, hey, it's actually good. I don't want to get into specifics since neither of you play it, but there's certain things that just irritated the hell out of people, like the computer would swing at every strike in the zone and connect. Now they actually take those. The graphics look a lot better because they've increased the polygon count and the shadows and all the visual effects. So it's very hopeful for people who want an MLB 2K10 to be good.
Yeah, I mean,
they sell NBA 2K10 in Europe.
NBA 2K10, yes, they do.
Okay.
I was going to say about the MLB, the best way to sell a game is to make it good. So, I mean, obviously, they're listening and they are improving.
Let me ask you a question. Which is more popular now in Europe? Is it Winning 7 or is it FIFA now?
Well, Winning 7 over here is called Pro Evolution Soccer. Okay. And there is a great debate still raging on about which is best. I think now FIFA is winning the war of the football games over here, the soccer games. I have always hated Winning 11 or whatever you want to call
Revolution,
it, Pro Evo.
Konami's game.
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, the players, they run like stick men. They're like, they run like their joints are made of, like, they're just like wood and hinges, like metal hinges. There is no fluidity in there. Fluidity, is that a word? But we've used it.
Fluidity, fluidness.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the FIFA games are, I'd say the FIFA games are on top at the moment. I mean, there's still a bit of buzz around when Pro Evolution comes out, but nowhere near as big as... I mean, there was a huge supermarket, or what you would call a shopping mall, like mart, kind of, I don't know what you'd call it. There was a massive price war. The lowest it got to, I think it was £25 at one store over here. So yeah, so they're selling it for $38. So I mean that's how low it got. It was basically for a one day thing, but I mean it was the kind of people were going and like at midnight to pick up these games from right next to the milk and bread aisle. It's crazy. I'd say yeah, FIFA. To answer your question, FIFA.
Right. One last game. This is a rarity in this day and age. Silent Hunter 5 Battle of the Atlantic is being released for PC, and it is an actual simulation, in this case a sub-simulation. And I just remember when it used to be, you know, you'd have the Jane's game, you had all these flight sims and combat sims and sub-sims and tank sims, you know, and now it's just really rare to have a serious simulation. Now, you wouldn't have played any of the Silent Hunters, would you?
No. I mean, I've played a few simulation games in my time, but not, no.
Anyway, that's the end of that, because I haven't, you know, the thing about it is that I haven't played a lot of simulation games lately. You know, I think maybe the last one I played was Ace Combat for the 360's demo.
Really? Was that a simulation? I would have said that was more arcade-y.
It's a flight sim, you know. It's a lot of action, but it does have a lot of simulation aspects.
Yeah.
Right now, they just take anything, you know. I think if Crimson Skies would come out, they would call it a simulation, too.
Mm.
I want another.
I know, and that's the other thing. Is Crimson Skies, Microsoft? Everybody wants it. I mean, people still play Crimson Skies online for the Xbox.
Not for any longer. They get shut down.
Oh, yeah, and that's the other news, that it's being shut down, what is it, March 31st?
April, I think it's April 15th?
April?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to get on the last hurrah, the Bungie squad are doing a Halo 2 goodbye evening on the 14th. So, and then eventually,
people are gonna, you know, I wonder if people are gonna start buying Halo 2 for the PC now, because I own it. It has Xbox Live achievements on it, and pretty soon it's gonna be the only way you can play Halo 2 online.
You know what? I think people are more likely to go over to Halo 3 than the PC version.
Halo Reach.
Mm.
Oh, you know, that reminds me. One of the big brouhahas about the PC version of Bioshock 2 was it did not come with gamepad support. And that's really strange. Now, I start to realize why. Because, you know, keyboard mouse is great for, you know, is the way to play shooters. But with Bioshock 2, you have to equip plasmids, fire plasmids, equip gun, select plasmids. And it's so easy to do with left shoulder button, right, left trigger, right shoulder button, right trigger, and the D-pad. With the PC version, you have to Q to cycle through the plasmids. You have to press a number, usually for a number, or the mouse wheel to cycle through your guns. And it's just pretty slow, because when you're doing the mouse button, when you're doing the selection wheel, have to do is point at selection. There, it's equipped. You don't want to cycle through the things, or you have to hunt the number key to select a weapon and cycle through plasmids. I mean, cycling through plasmids is really a pain. Am I alone here?
No, you're not alone.
Okay.
You are not alone. No, sorry. No, sorry.
Another anecdote is that someone was watching this kid, you know, 21-year-old kid. He was having the hardest time with a shooter with a keyboard and mouse, and because he said, you know, I never played a shooter. I've always played a shooter with a keypad. I mean, with a gamepad, and that made him feel really old.
I mean, I feel ashamed to even be online when people are talking about the PC versions of, like, FPSs, because, I mean, I've been to internet cafes, tried to play Call of Duty on the PC and have failed epically, because I'm just so used to the gamepad, and I know...
auto lock for when you're sniping.
Yeah, that's also...
I mean, like, the only games I play on my PC, like I said, is, like, Counter-Strike and Team Fortress 2 and maybe Left 4 Dead.
Well, at least that you're using a keyboard and mouse. So you're not totally alien to it.
I know. I mean, like, I'm not great. I mean, by any means, I suck. But it's just fun, you know, to, like, hop online every once in a while and play with a
I don't play Counter-Strike anymore because I'm just sniper bait. I think my head hitbox is, like, the size of a sofa, you know. Headshot. Bang.
Boom. Headshot.
I love those videos. Anyway, we're coming to the close of the podcast here. Richard, anything you want to splooge or announce?
No, not really. No.
You have the giveaway for Bad Company 2. What else are you doing?
It's not my site, but I am trying to get my...
It's your site in that you write for it.
Yeah, it's a site that I write for. Other than that, just getting ready to go to college. Abstract360.com, where you can win a copy of Bad Company 2.
Okay, so anyways, say goodbye, everybody, and hopefully we'll have another podcast next week.
Hopefully.
Yep. Hopefully.
Okay, see you guys later.
See ya.
Hang and watching Transformers.
Explosions.
See you guys.
See ya.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt, but Richard earlier was talking about Dead Samurai, and on Twitter they just put out that the sequel is going to be coming out.
Yeah,
is he going to be a?
It's called
Busboy. Well, if they've actually released it, then I'm on out.
Dead
of
Pirate
NDA.
Busboy. There we go.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm out of NDA now, so yeah, it does look like a pretty good game. I mean, I saw the trailer and everything before it came out, and it does look pretty good. It's same old Dead Samurai, but I mean, it's
just, with more things to kill.
Yeah, it's more of what you want. It's you love it.
I haven't played it actually myself.
I haven't played it.
And you're gonna accuse me of heresy, but I haven't played Castle Crashers either. So
ooh. What?
Ooh.
Why?
It's just that I just haven't had the time for it, you know, and I didn't have the 800 MSP to spend on it.
You're gonna have
1200
to
when it was originally released.
You're gonna have to stop dropping these bombs. You're becoming controversial now, Jonah.
I don't play Battlefield 1943 either. So shoot me.
What? You're just a bad person.
Okay, now that you've hijacked what's it called, the thing, let's get back to Yakuza 3 now. Do I interested in it?